Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome back to the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 96. We are coming at you from our homes in nice, sunny, warm Indiana. We are not on the Kiss Cruise. And it is rather nippy here occasionally, but I'm still wearing shorts tonight. And there you go. Anyway, we are going to talk a little bit about the Kiss Cruise tonight. And we are going to... then we have our regular topic, which we'll get to in a little bit later. But we have been eagerly awaiting the Kiss Cruise videos and song lists and that kind of stuff. And there's been some pretty cool stuff going on that cruise. What do you guys think? I mean, there's
the highlight. The highlight for me is Sweet Pain, because that completes the every song on the Destroyer album has finally been performed live. And
is that one that hadn't been performed live?
To the best of my knowledge, it was never performed live when Destroyer came out. I believe up until the symphony thing in Australia, Great Expectations had never been performed live. So, so for me, Sweet Pain is the holy grail of the live songs for me.
Cool. Very cool. I mean, they have done so much stuff that's been, cool stuff so far that it's crazy. Julian posted some stuff. I was trying to find it here real quick because he posted a really cool post earlier today that had some interesting things from the list. And I wrote them down and I threw it away. Tomorrow and tonight. They did Tomorrow and Tonight.
Right. That would be kind of cool.
You don't see them do.
Well, this is the first time they actually performed Tomorrow and Tonight for real.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I thought that was really good. Yeah. That was really good, except for Paul struggling, which we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
I think Hot and Cold's pretty cool. That's kind of cool to do something off there. I thought they did a really pretty good job.
Hot and Cold's on Sonic Boom, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that song from Adam and Eve. I honestly. That record never gets played. I did like the Eye off of The Elder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I got that. I saw that video, and the first thing I thought was, I've got to send this to Bill. I know he'll like it.
I don't give a shit.
I like that song. And they played it good. And I tell you what, they kicked it out.
Well, they played it good because Gene sang it.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly. No, there
well,
was
now,
Paul
in their defense, they play all of the songs good, or they play all of the songs.
Yeah, they play. Yes, that's true.
Sonically wise, they're good. I mean, musically wise, but
I hate to see how his vocal cords are struggling.
I had a very sad evening. Like I said, I was wanting to sit and watch a lot of these because I knew that, we talked about our topic. And I said, well, I'm going to sit and listen to these things. And all of a sudden, we went through, I started listening to some of the Paul Stanley acoustic set. Oof. It was really tough. I mean,
yeah, I had Noah watch it earlier. I had him watch Ain't Quite Right, and I was like, he's like, that's horrible.
I mean,
I
don't feel bad. I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad. It just makes me feel bad. I mean, I'm like going, does he not realize how bad his voice is? That's my question. Does he not realize how bad his voice is?
Well, I'm sure that people have tagged him on Twitter and made comments about that, so I'm sure he knows that there's a problem, but, people keep coming, and pay in to hear him sing, so he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. He wouldn't be the first one.
It's done. Well, that, like I said, know. I sent you guys an email earlier. I said, you know, or text earlier saying, you know, I taped them up in Indianapolis at the when we were up at the.
But that was when right. He was maxed out, man.
Well, it would have been 96, was it? Was the official?
The reunion was 96, 97.
Well, yeah, I mean, so it was before that. It was in
95.
95 was the Expos. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. And I've got a handheld video of that that acoustic concert. I mean, it's shaky as hell. It'll make you dizzy watching it. But the vocally wise on that thing, dude, I'm telling you, I watch that sometimes and it gives me a chill. It's just his voice was so fucking incredible, and to now see him in this position, it's sad. It really is sad. I mean, I can't watch that stuff. It's hard to watch.
So let's talk about Bob and Bruce Kulick.
Oh, man, I tell you what. Who saved the day? Seriously.
Yeah, I'm. You know, Bob and Bruce were joined with by the drummer Brent Fritz and Todd Kearns as a bassist and lead vocalist. And, man, they tore that crap up. Every video I've seen has been incredible. I mean,
yeah.
Deep cuts.
I will say that for the diva that Bob is, he has the talent to back it up.
Oh, he does. Oh, absolutely. And I've just been amazed at actually the set list they did was incredible. You know, All American Man, Larger Than Life. Did they do Who Wants to Be Lonely?
Who Wants to Be Lonely was the highlight for me.
Yeah, great. I mean, because incredible.
That, and it was, I've mentioned this. I've mentioned on the show before that the solo in Who Wants to Be Lonely is my favorite Bruce Kulick solo ever.
He tore it up.
I thought they did incredible. I mean,
and then like Goodbye from Paul's solo album. I mean, that was just dude. Those guys, and they, I tell you what, that guy that they got singing and playing bass. Dude, he's on top of it.
Hey, Todd Kearns, do you want to come on our show?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I bet there'll be a lot of us reaching out for Todd.
Hammered.
So
he will get hammered.
We need to figure out how to get a hold of him right now.
And if I'm not mistaken, I heard I heard Bruce mention that he's singing some of the Union songs. Is that correct or not? I'm just flying off the cuff.
I haven't heard that. I don't know. Okay.
Because I don't know for sure who was in Union, like I said, whenever he did that project. But anyway, no, those guys, they're sonically, they sounded great. Even vocally, they sounded really good. And like I said, with Bruce those guys, Bruce sounded really good. It was really interesting to see him play in that SG. You never seen Bruce play in SG. It was kind of weird. And but him and Bob together, though, they were just like, I don't know, was it
I've seen Bruce
Larger Than Life, that first
that
lick where they're playing together, they were just fucking tearing it up. I mean,
I've seen good. Bruce play the SG with Grand Funk.
Maybe that's where it's coming from then.
Yeah, I told you that I thought that's where it was coming, that it was, you know, he had brought that for the, because he had to leave the boat today, right. I believe, to get back for a set. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think in one of those that Todd might have mentioned something about being in that. Is he in that band? Is he in the Nashville, the
residency?
Residency in Nashville. I think he is.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think he might be, and I think he mentioned that.
Something we need to look into.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be cool to try to get a hold of him and. They just tore it up. I mean, I was very impressed. I mean, totally impressed with everything they were doing. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I was real impressed, too. So what's the other things that you're going to be doing on it? I mean, they did that first night. They did the Sail Away cruise, which, of course, the Sail Away thing was a joke. I mean, that was basically the same thing they've done, acoustic set.
Yeah,
it's the same bullshit they've done before. You know, the first concert... So I guess tonight there's probably, what, another concert?
I believe tonight's the second Electric show.
So we'll have to see what, you know, they pull out of that one. But yeah, like I said, it's just like I said, when they're going to be doing this, I'm sure they're going to be doing this after, because they said basically they're not going to tour any this year, right? Because Gene's got his
I've not heard that, so I don't
so
know.
They're not going to be touring. So I would say coming up, the next tour is going to be the end tour. I would guess that. That's what somebody was saying today, that it'll be basically 2018 to 2020 or whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if there ends up not being a final tour.
I honestly don't think it can happen. I honestly do not want to go. To be honest, I do not want to go.
Well, don't go, but I'm going.
Do you want your last thought of Kiss to be a something that's not up to par?
I want my last thing to be the last thing.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm with you. I'll probably
go. It's already not been to par. Already happened. It's been that way.
I haven't seen him for a while. I haven't seen him where he's struggling. So for me, it would be like the last time I seen him was pretty damn good. It was on the Lost Cities tour is when I seen him.
Good Lord, that's like 97.
1998, 97.
Yeah, yeah. I have not seen him.
Can't even count yourself as a fan then. You might as well give that shit up.
Well, they haven't come to Evansville, number one. And number two, I can't get any place else, and I'm not going to, you know. So, there you go.
All right, fine.
All right.
So do we have anything else to talk about, or are we going
to
jump right
into our topic? I'm going to Nashville this weekend. Lord help me if I can stay healthy enough. And then my wife now, my beautiful wife, she's now got a sore throat. So I've been dealing with this shit for a week. We were going to go to Nash Vegas this weekend and see Amos Lee play along with the Philharmonic.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen Amos Lee four times now. Still don't know about two of his songs. I still pay attention. But I'm curious to see him play him his band is a first-class band. I mean, every time you go see him, it's not something I get into, but it's something that I can sit and listen to. It's not that bad. When I get home, I don't ever pull out an Amos Lee disc or on Spotify.
Really, I figured you would probably do that. I figured
I do not.
You listen to it and getting the set list ahead of time, but you get the set list ahead of time to know when the last song is. You get the hell out of there.
I wouldn't. You know what? Even mention whatever name it was of the song, I wouldn't know what it was whenever he played it. I'd be like, "Going, is this the last song?"
You can count, can't you?
That's
one,
true.
1, 2, 4, 7, 12.
So anyway, we're gonna go down for this, and it'll be. It'd be Saturday night. He's doing actually two nights, Friday and Saturday
night. Is Saturday night all right for fighting?
It's in Nash Vegas. There could be all kinds of shit going on. So we're gonna go out to eat and do that and go see this. But actually, I'm kind of curious.
Is it down at the TPAC Center?
No, it's at the Philharmonic
Center.
It's the building the Philharmonic plays on. It's right. Actually, it's down. It would be east of the.
All right, too detailed.
No, it's it's down the street. It's toward the end. You know where the Hard Rock is.
You lost Bill at east.
You go about two blocks north, or two blocks the other way from the river, and then it's behind there. It's kind of behind that thing. That's the place where we seen Kenny Rogers stand outside they were doing some kind of. Award show that night. I was out there yelling, going, "Come on, sing something!" That's great. Anyway,
well, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, I didn't want to interrupt. Speaking of Saturday night, this Saturday is the Elton John concert here in Evansville, so that's where my sorry ass is going to be.
Cool.
Oh, you son. Why? That's not. You shouldn't be sorry about that. That's going to be cool.
Well, I'm not sorry about that. I'm just a sorry ass.
Well, tell you that's what, true.
I'll switch you a ticket for Amos Lee for the Philharmonic.
You can suck a big one.
Wow. That's
I got a sweater for you.
Yeah. There you go. Goodness sakes. All right. You guys ready to go?
Yeah, yep. Let's do this.
Okay. So tonight's main topic is we're going to focus on Eric Carr a little bit and spend some time talking about Eric Carr and our five favorite Eric Carr songs. I'm not a big fan of these list things, but, you know, they're kind of cool sometimes.
But why are we doing this?
Well, yeah, now, so I'm going to tell you a little story.
Before you get to the story, instead of saying five favorite Eric Carr songs, shouldn't it be more like five songs from the Eric Carr era?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
five Eric Carr songs you can remember from back then.
There weren't five Eric Carr songs in the catalog.
That's true.
You know what
That's
I'm saying?
True. What? Okay.
Eric sang lead vocals playing semantics. On two okay. songs.
So we're playing semantics. Right. But okay.
Well, right. If we don't play semantics,
whatever
will.
Alan said is fine.
But the reason why this whole thing became is a interesting story. Bill, would you like to tell a story?
Sure. So, I was in my office last week and working on a project, and had a one of the people I was working with from a company said, "Hey, I would like for you to talk to the North American vice president or something like that of finance or whatever from a company." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Well, they sent me the information, and the guy's name was Sandy." When they said it on the phone, it was Sandy Caravello. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So immediately the antennas go up, goosebumps, and I'm like, okay, here we go. So I get an email from him, and I sit there and I'm like, okay, do I send an email back to him and just ask him the real question that I want to know, or do I just wait? So I'm like, nope, I'm asking. So I shot him back an email and I said, "Hey, Sandy," I said, "and your name is very, this is going to seem like a weird question, but I need to ask it anyway. Your name is very, means something to me because I am a fan of the rock band Kiss and wanted to know if you were by any chance related to Paul Caravaggio, who was Eric Carr in the rock band Kiss." And I said, "Don't mean to bother you," whatever, whatever. So he sends me a thing back and it says, there's a Kiss fan everywhere. And so we traded some emails, and so it was pretty cool. He is Paul's dad's brother. So they're cousins twice removed or once removed or whatever. And he said they used to call him Paulie when they were little and all that kind of stuff. So he does know him and knew him and that whole bit. But I will probably meet him at the end of the month. It'll be kind of cool because I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about Eric or Paul or whatever they call him if I get a chance. So, yeah, it was kind of cool. So that kind of brought me. I was like, well, that's kind of cool. So I thought, you know, we got to spend a little bit of time talking about Eric Carr and spend a little bit of time at least picking our five favorite Eric Carr era songs, since he since he played on all of them that he could play on, but. You know, whatever. Anyway, so there we go. That's what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about our five favorite Eric Carr era songs. So, Alan, you want to go first?
Sure. My number five pick is Little Caesar, basically because he wrote the lyrics to that song and because that was the only real vocal, the only song he got to sing lead on a Kiss album that was not Beth.
Yeah, this is going to be probably quick because that was my number. That was one of mine as well. And that actually was number five for me. Same thing. I agree. But I like the song though. I mean, I do like the song. So it isn't like it's just an Eric Carr song and I picked it, but I do like it. So Dennis, what do you got, man?
All right. So mine, number five pick, like I said, and I was preface it with, you know, I'm not a huge 80s Kiss fan. I mean, not that I don't like Eric Carr, I just wasn't a fan of the music then. But I do have a few songs. Boomerang off the same album. Actually, it was right after Little Caesar.
Yeah.
Because of just, I look for songs that were where he had his where he could really show his drumming skills, and Boomerang was one of those.
All right, so back to me.
Yep, back to you. All right.
Well, actually, mine was the same as Alan. So, Alan, what else do you have, buddy?
My number four is Under the Gun off of the Animalize album, because Eric co-wrote that song.
Oh, where's my list? Oh, my list is on my phone. I have a notebook. I didn't use my notebook. I use my thing.
Well, I figured out I get them typed up in Notepad on my screen before I get started. That way I don't lose my notes.
Yeah, I got them here. So my next one is Rock and Roll Hell off Creatures of the Night. Just the beginning, the drum part of that song, and that, you know, actually I made a comment earlier that to these guys that it's going to be kind of difficult to not just go, it's this album. because for me, Eric Carr, you know, that Creatures of the Night album was just, the drums were so huge and they sounded, right. You know, they were all recorded in a bathroom is what they set them up in, or a small room, and they sounded gigantic or ginormous in this case. And so, yeah, Rock and Roll Hell is my next pick. So I would go with that.
Dennis. Oh, is it my turn?
Did you do all your right, number so four, Dennis?
Yes, I did number four.
No. So anyway, I'm like Bill. Eric's drumming on Creatures of the Night was just fantastic. I mean, once you get to Lick It Up, you know, it's kind of mainstream again. But Creatures was the one. So I'm gonna go with Creatures of the Night. I mean, just that intro, boom, 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 you know. Most of my songs are probably going to come from Creatures. Just for that fact of, I mean, it is a good sound.
That's bombastic drums in that one. That
it
album,
is,
for
I mean,
sure.
Just, it was, oh, that, yeah. This Creatures was the album that got me back into Kiss. I mean, after the lull.
after the debacle. Right?
Yeah. Exactly,
the debacle that you like.
Well, I do. There are some that I do like in there. So.
It's okay. You can like it.
Well, I do.
I feel bad for you, but
I'll wave the banner all day for
listen,
that.
You won't listen to anything off Sonic
love
Boom.
The Elder.
You won't listen to anything off Sonic Boom or Monster, and you'll listen to that piece of garbage.
I will put the Elder up against those two any day.
Oh, dude, their music is so much on those two records.
Sonic Boom and Monster.
That's another show right there.
Yeah, they've got some good songs on there.
Oh, they're terrible.
They're not terrible.
Anyway.
Go.
Anyway. All right, Alan, what's number three, buddy?
My number three is Young and Wasted off the Lick It Up album. Now, you know, before Young and Wasted was just another song off of Lick It Up, which is one of my favorite albums. And then I saw Animalize Live Uncensored, and Eric Carr was singing that one, and that just made me totally fall in love with that song. Of course, you know, back in those days, Eric Carr was my drum hero, you know, so a lot of my, I know Dennis isn't a big Eric Carr fan, but, you know, I was a drummer, young drummer coming up in the 80s when everybody was doing the double kick drums, which I couldn't do if I had to save my life, I would die. I just can't do that.
Oh, really?
But no, I
can't do it.
Well, I have balance issues, you know. And
you
kind of got to be able to sit steady on a drum stool to be able to do the double kick, and I just can't do it. So,
well, we know you have balance issues.
Yes.
Yeah. Shut up, beard.
Shut up, man. Shut your pie hole. So, Dennis, do you not like Eric Carr? Do you have an Eric Carr thing, man? I didn't know that.
The thing is, Eric never shined for me. I mean, he was a great drummer, and he was a great addition to Kiss. He just doesn't really. I'm not a drummer.
I wanted to clarify. You know, I'm a drummer. Dennis is not a drummer. Right. I can see why Eric Carr doesn't appeal.
I mean,
to him.
I do play drums. I have a, you know, I can play drums, but I'm just not a drummer. So I don't look to even most bands. A drummer is not my. I always look at either the guitar player or the singer, or the, you know, I'm just not a. That's not my person. So when Eric was replaced with Peter, I wasn't a big Peter fan. So when Eric came in,
he likes little Peter.
Yeah. I'm a little Peter fan. But anyway,
so is your wife.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. For the video guy.
Oh my god.
But anyway, no, I mean, Eric wasn't. I mean, and then whenever you know we got Eric Singer in there. I mean, I love Eric Singer. Eric Singer is a great drummer. But there again, it's a drummer for Kiss. It doesn't really make a difference. The drums don't make much of a difference. The reason I was saying, actually, Young and Wasted was another one I was going to bring up. That was going to be my next pick for the fact of that he did sing and play that. And it is a good drum beat. But most of my songs are going to come off of Creatures just for the fact of the sound of the drums.
That's valid.
But like I said, Eric, you know, God love his soul. I mean, he was a great drummer and he did great things for Kiss. I'm just not a drum person. So that's just. And Bill, you're blurry as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to laughing and leaned forward and
there
got
you go.
My.
There you go. Got it.
There
you
go. I had to reset the camera.
Okay.
Right. So that was my number three.
You've been drinking. I thought my cold medicine was getting up. And like I said, if you see me coughing and hacking on here, I'm still sick from actually last Tuesday. Yeah, so
that was my number three too. Creatures was my number third. Mine as well. All right. So what do you got? What else you got, Alan?
My number two is "I Still Love You" off of the Creatures of the Night album. And the reason that I chose that one is because Eric plays bass on that recording.
Really? I didn't know.
Yep.
Oh. There you go.
I knew that he had played guitar, but I didn't know that was.
You did your research, buddy. Look at that. He's got like.
He's all
picked like, songs for a reason. I just picked songs because they sound good.
He's got the beard.
Well,
smarter next week.
Not only does the beard make me look professorially intelligent, but I'm an Eric Carr fan.
That's not even a word.
It is now because I just made it up. But I'm an Eric Carr fan, so these are stupid things that I know about him that most people don't give a shit about.
See now, if anybody doesn't,
I think it's cool that you know that.
So if you don't watch the video or YouTube videos, you don't know now that we are all in the November no shave. So you know the beard's coming back.
I think Alan checked into that back in June.
Alan did like a June. When did you start that?
Day 197 into no shave November.
Seriously, when did you start that?
The Wednesday before Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. I knew it was back then. Well, I knew it'd been a while, because I was like, "Why are you doing that in the summer, dude?"
Yeah, I remember it was hotter. Fuck.
Apparently,
well, the last time I grew a beard, I started it in the summer.
All right.
That's kind of weird.
Just got to be different.
Guess so. Whatever. Beards are in though.
Yep.
So
that was my number two. "I Still Love You" by Eric Carr on the bass.
Right. My number two is "Killer," also off "Creatures of the Night." Again, it's just the. Drumming that song.
That's a good song.
Cool. It's a good song. And that's my number two. Killer.
All right. My number two is "Keep It Coming" from that album. But see, like I said.
Okay, "Creatures of the Night," all of it.
Okay. So basically, I'm gonna stop now at this point because I don't really have a favorite. Just everything off of "Creatures" is my favorite from Eric Carr. And like I said, God rest his soul. I mean, he was a great drummer. I mean, awesome.
Yeah, I didn't really put mine in order. How I have them listed. It's not my favorite.
So. I went through, and actually today I'm late doing things because I've been working overtime, and then I've been sick over things. So I've been going through today, just kind of going through each song, just a lot of the stuff through like "Hot in the Shade." There's no standout songs. They're just basic drum beats, you know.
Well, except some of those songs on "Hot in the Shade" are recorded to be drum little machines.
Exactly, because they were demos. A lot of those. And you know, there again, I don't think that Kiss gave Eric Carr his time to shine. To be honest, you know, he was kind of.
I think that goes back to the this is our band. You are a hired gun.
Exactly. And I don't think that he actually shined what he was told what to do.
Well,
regiment of what he could do, and that's it.
And he was also the first replacement.
Correct.
Fine.
So
plus he had to deal with the the first person to do a different makeup and all that other crap. And that was one thing that was very interesting. I heard an interview here with Lynn, the girl Lynn Gold, was it Goldstein?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. But where she was talking about how he, you know, everybody was all really comfortable in their makeup and could pose and stuff, and he just knew like one pose. He just didn't know he couldn't quite get it. I mean,
they had years of it.
You know, threw him in. I mean, that dude got thrown into the fire. I mean, he was a repairman one day, and the next day you're in Kiss. You're in the biggest band in the world. I mean, that's a fucking accomplishment, you know, and a half, and then having to be able to deal with that. So anyway,
yeah, pretty cool.
I'm good.
All right, Alan, what do you got next? What do you got left, man?
My number one is All Hell's Breaking Loose off of the Lick It Up album, because Eric wrote that song.
Really?
Yep.
Man, look at that.
Well, he wrote the song, brought the song to the band, and in typical Paul fashion, he had to do some rearranging. But Eric has the main writing credit on that.
Really?
Huh. And do you know that that's Tommy Thayer's favorite Kiss song to play that he doesn't get to play?
No.
Imagine that.
And I know that because he told Noah that when we met him.
That's
Noah
cool.
Asked him that question. And he said, all hell's... I mean, he said it like that. It wasn't like, let me think about it. No, it was within seconds.
Well,
I think
riff.
That's a song that they... Yeah. The I think that's a song they play cool. in the... you know, sometimes for...
Would they... Could they... I mean, could Paul... You know, I'm thinking back...
Soundcheck. What?
Yeah,
could Paul sing
Paul.
That now?
It could be hard on Paul.
I don't know.
Well
no, he's being, lower register.
With them being tuned down now, he may
it's lower register. He might be able to do that.
Yeah. It's not too bad.
Because it's kind of a rapping thing in between it.
Well, that's in Lick It Up. So he wasn't too high in Lick It Up yet. I mean, when Asylum was...
That's a thing for poor, you know, poor Bruce. He ain't never going to get an opportunity because Paul can't sing any of those songs that he did with Bruce. They were so high at that point. I mean, he just kept going higher and higher and higher. There's just no way he can get to that point.
Higher,
you know?
And higher
and higher and higher and higher. We couldn't pass it up.
Nope.
That's a great song.
So that was all my right. number one.
So yeah. The last one for me is Who Wants to Be Lonely off Asylum. Again, great song, and I do, you know, I think his drumming on that's pretty good. That drumming doesn't sound to me in that song as, I don't know, canned. I guess it does as some of the other stuff off Asylum. But yeah, I that's one of my favorite songs too. I'd love to see him do that live.
Yep.
But some people got to see that. No, they didn't. They got to see Bob and Bruce do that live.
Yeah.
And with a guy who could sing it.
Dennis. Give it a chance.
And for me, it's basically, like I said, I'm just going to say Creatures of the Night, the whole album. That is my... Seriously. I honestly, I don't have a particular song for him. I mean, I'm honestly... And it's no disrespect. It's just that I'm not a drum person. But the sound on that album was just incredible. And he did a considering that, you know, he came into this band and then his first album was The Elder. how crappy could that be, you know?
He didn't do any drumming on Unmasked, Eddie. That was still Anton Figg, correct?
That was still, and whoever else they got bringing in.
Alan Schwartzberg.
The Elder, maybe. Elder was the first thing he did anything on.
Call, hold on. Poor guy.
Poor Dennis got to cough again.
Oh, no. I was poor Eric.
Oh, I know you were saying poor Eric, but I was feeling bad. I'm feeling bad for Dennis.
Yeah,
no, I've got coughing fits. I've been a week of this crap, and I'm about done with it.
I feel but your anyway, pain, buddy.
No, like I said, though, it was kind of, you know, think about that, though, coming into a band that was his biggest Kiss. You know, you see him in 77, all this, you know, all this big regalia. Then you're brought into the band, and your first album is The Elder.
Hi, we're going to try to recreate Pink Floyd's The Wall. Welcome to the band.
Yeah, and it's like,
we're going to make one album that's going to ruin our career. Thanks for joining.
Yeah. I mean, and that, and
we're gonna lose 90% of our audience in one album. Watch,
I mean, boom. That had to be so freaking weird. I mean, it just you couldn't imagine somebody coming into that situation. You know,
I can imagine the first time he had to play something off of The Elder, he went, are you the same guys that wear that makeup stuff that that played that Destroyer album and Rock and Roll Over?
Right.
Those same guys.
Well, that happened? And you both went to you guys both went to one of the official reunions, right? I know Alan did.
Oh yeah,
I went to two of them.
So I did too, the Nashville and the Indianapolis.
And oh, are you talking about the reunion concert or the Kiss convention?
Kiss conventions.
Okay, I went to the one in Nashville. That's the only one I went.
I was supposed to go to one in Indianapolis with you, and I had to cancel at the last minute.
That's right. Anyway, the whole point was the first time that Eric walked out in that hawk costume that they had on the mannequin out there. I mean, could you imagine having to do that too? No. That thing was, I mean, like, how they even got to that point? Okay, you're gonna be a hawk. You're gonna be like
chicken.
You're gonna be a chicken. Hey, when we put the
chicken, and I'm a chicken hawk.
We play the Yum Center. You're gonna be like the most popular person here. But yeah, it's like going, holy crap! What the hell were they thinking about? You know, it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
And you know, it's unfortunate because I think, you know, if you read Paul's book and stuff like that, and you read some other stuff you've heard from Eric, he was kind of never really kind of felt, I think, that at least from what I read, that he belonged there and he struggled. And, you know, Bruce has made comment about that before, and you know, just about insecurities and stuff like that. But you know, I always found him to be part of the group and part of the band and a very important part of the band. I have his autograph got from somebody that when he stayed at the hotel at the Executive Inn downtown, and somebody got it for me on a napkin. And I still have it, but
that's very,
you know,
cool.
I think
that the public, you know, appreciated him, and the public accepted him as a Kiss person.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that he accepted himself into Kiss.
I think,
and it may be that fact of that, you know, he came in with that weird album, and it was just a weird situation for him.
Well, I think part of the problem for Eric was, you know, when Peter left the band, Gene and Paul had enough of Peter's antics, had had enough of Ace's antics, and whoever else come into the band was going to know right away, you know, you're an employee, we're the boss, this is the way things are going to be, you know.
Yeah.
Now, a positive thing I will say about Eric being in the band is no matter how he felt about what was going on internally, I have never once heard a bad story about Eric Carr dealing with a fan. He always stopped and talked to him, signed autographs, took pictures, you know. So for the shit he put up with, I think he was a fan of the fans.
Yeah. The band might have had issues with him, but like you said, I never heard any bad thing about fans. Everybody's said that he's went all, you know.
I don't know if the band had issues with him, though.
Well,
I don't think the band had issues.
They didn't have issues with him, but they were concerned about.
Well, I think he's just on a short leash. Right. I mean, I can understand why they would be gun shy. I mean, you know, you are at the peak of your career, and you got half the band that can't figure out how to get to the venue on time, or be sober enough to play. I mean, I would be.
But Paul is
gun shy on that stuff.
And, you know, in the last few years, there's been a lot coming out about Paul saying things about Eric about as far as, you know, worrying about his disposition and everything else. You know, that shouldn't be really said. I don't think that there's anything that should have been said.
Well, that was in Paul's book. I mean, he talked about that. He talked about that. But they tried to make him, you know, they tried to make him fit in. I mean, they bought him a Porsche, and they tried to get, but you know, you don't know. It's a dynamic. None of us were there, and you know, it's got to be tough. But you know, Eric Carr and his family can say that, you know, he played in
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the biggest bands in the world.
Exactly. And
there's a shit ton of other people that can't say that.
Right.
You know?
Whatever happened to this Rockheads cartoon thing they ever...
I don't know. You know, that's... That I had some stuff off that at one time. I don't know where it's at.
I mean, I think it got almost to development at some point, didn't it? Or I don't know.
There was so much of that stuff that was going on that I think some of it just kind of fell by the wayside.
And I know that that Bruce was helping him with some of it for a while.
Right. And Bruce had been doing some stuff. And I think Bruce, after he passed away, Bruce even made a comment that at some point that may be coming out, that they had actually finished some of the episodes or whatever it was. But, you know, who knows, you know.
I wish I'd have thought about it. I've got a set of Eric Carr branded drumsticks that Eric's sister sent me way back in.
Well, that's cool.
2009 or something.
Right.
I might have even had them longer than that. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think I have that. I think I have the music off that Rockheads.
Right. But there again, Rockology?
It was called Rockheads.
Right. But it may be some of those situations where it's all bound up in legal shit. You know, some company has the rights to this and the rights to that, and they're feuding over the other people's rights. That's where a lot of that shit gets tied.
Yeah, but I know that Bruce was trying to really help him get that rolling.
Bruce was. I know for a fact because I've read a bunch of shit about that, and I'd be curious to maybe we'll look into that, see where that's
be interesting.
At.
You know, I. It's kind of funny, you know, because Bruce and him, I think, became pretty close.
Right.
You know, and it's that whole thing about we're the hired guns. And
well, they had to be close because they were the outsiders. I mean, even though they were in Kiss, they were the guys they were going to be, you know, basically whenever Kiss rejoined, guess who, you know, they're gone, you know. Well,
yeah.
If Eric would have been with them at that point, they would have, you know, they would have both been gone, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And I think they both knew that. I mean, at some point, it was gonna happen, you know, just when and where. It was just a matter of time. But anyway, interesting.
I was trying to look to see if I had that any of that music. I thought I did.
Real quick, while we're just kind of sitting here mumbling, did you guys see that they added that second side to the Kiss 78?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? I gotta pick that up. I keep forgetting about that.
Well, actually, I downloaded it off this CD baby thing. Uh-huh. I paid my $4, and I can't figure out how to download it. So I'm gonna have to probably go to YouTube. Are you iTunes and have to download it again and pay for it? So those guys get paid twice, you know. But how do you do that? I mean, I'm like retarded as far as
when I come over to look at your 1977 to 1978 book, I'll help you download
plus
that.
Plus, get your gift. It's sitting back right over there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was called when it was released. It was called Rockology. You're right, and I do have it.
Okay.
Eyes of Love's on it. Somebody's Waiting. Yeah. Heavy Metal Baby. Just Can't Wait. Mad Dog. And You Drive Me or You Make Me Crazy.
Yeah. There were a couple
there's
songs
more. Nightmare.
There.
Too Cool for School. Tierra. Can You Feel It?
Yeah.
Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
So what was this from then?
This was some stuff that he had recorded as demos. And his sister Loretta had all of that stuff. And I think that she worked with Bruce Kulick, and he come in and laid down guitar tracks and solos and stuff like that, and just finished all that stuff up and put out an album.
I've never heard it. So,
really?
I've got it around here somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you come over, bring me.
if I can find it,
we'll share something.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I forgot I had that.
We're all into sharing and all into, you know. That's why Gene won't put out a new album because he don't. He doesn't want us all to just sit around and be nice and share everything together.
So did you guys see the we can get off that Eric topic for a second. Right. Is that okay?
Yeah,
we're fine. So did you see? Yeah, we've kind of veered off that.
We've beat that topic to death.
We have. So did you see the Perfect Circle through a, like 60 fans out of a venue?
Yes.
Out of a concert the other day? Are they out of their frickin' mind?
Why would they do that? Why would they do that?
Maynard is a turd, that's why.
Well, supposedly he sings at the back corner of the stage and tries to stay out of the limelight or whatever. He's like a Jim Morrison kind of don't want this.
He's an avant-garde tool.
Guess what? Avant-garde ain't going to have any fucking fans.
I think he's
fans.
A tool. I think you got that.
He's
going to
have any
got
fans.
Got the name of his band right.
The next fucking concert, all the fans just say, you know what? Fuck you. We're not going to show up. That's bullshit. Avant-garde. You know what?
My post was, so they threw out a third of their fans that were in the building and
emptied the venue.
And they emptied the venue. And that was brilliant because you're a bunch of, I mean, and I guess I just
but
don't
you know it. What? They got fucking news about it. And so everybody's gonna, like checking them out. And, you know, it's just
they're not going to.
But
go
there's
the going to
be some fucking hipsters that are going to say, ew, this fucking cool. Fuck those guys with the iPhones, the bastards, and fucking Antifa. There are so many weird people around nowadays.
Yeah, one of them's on this show with us.
Yeah. I'm sick, though. Fuck you.
You're sick when you're well.
I am.
All right, guys.
I'm getting a nice little beard going.
We ready to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
It ain't like.
All right, so you can find us. Thanks for listening and watching whatever.
Please,
Leave us some feedback. I mean, leave us some feedback on the Facebook page. We want some stuff on the Facebook page. Leave us feedback on there. You can leave us some stuff on iTunes. Shoot us a Twitter, something on the Twitter.
Hey, tell you what, call me at my home phone. It's 867-5309. Just call me up. That's for Jenny.
Yeah, I'll post Dennis's phone number on the web, and you can call Dennis and actually call Dennis and act like you're a Microsoft salesperson. Oh, see how it works out.
I love to fuck with those guys. Oh, please.
Anyway, let's finish
so you can find
here.
Us on so you can find us on Stitcher Radio, www.agesofrock.com, and iTunes, all that kind of stuff we've already talked about. So another good show. It was good chat, you guys, and we will see you next week. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.